It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, live today from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a fantastic, wonderful start to your day. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane Nick Frazier is back at the studios on the ones and twos. Jojo, how you doing?
Good, my friend. Good to be back at the Omni as always, and always a good time down here. Was talking to our good friend Todd Rodermill about last week and all that happened downtown, and it was one of the best weeks Nashville sports and downtown. Todd said probably since the NHL All-Star game or the Stanley Cup run in 17, just kind of organic that way and kind of took over, man, and it was a lot of fun. So, but you know, the weather's got a lot to do. It's gonna be nice today, so it's gonna be back downtown, man.
It is. It's gonna be what, 72, 73, something like that today
with warm winds.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, it's just perfect.
Sunny and 75. I would do that every day of the year.
Oh yeah. Is there a place in the world where it's like that every day?
I'm sure. I'm sure those places exist.
You know, in my heart. Every day it's sunny and 75.
That's sweet, Joe.
Except when I've got
San Juan Tenejo.
Yeah, right. I'll be scrubbing my boat. You and Ricky come walking up.
A fantastic ending to a fantastic movie.
Can Ricky get through Fort Hancock, Texas, though?
Yeah, he'd be all right.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
He'll get through.
I know he's got some, but he has some trouble getting through the border, you know, from some past things he's done in high school. But that's okay, though.
We'll make it work, that's for sure. Again, we're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at Kitchen Notes. Hal Gill will join us at 9:30, as he usually does on Tuesday. A little bit different, John McClain will join us today from 10 to 10:30. We'll get his thoughts on free agency and the things going on in the NFL. Obviously, a lot of big moves, and we're all still waiting on Aaron Rodgers and what he's going to do. John joining us. He's going to the first couple rounds of the tournament in Vegas.
So, is he?
So he had to move to today. So that
good for
fun.
Him. Yeah. Is he working or is he?
I think it's pleasure.
Is Baylor in that bracket? Because he's a big Baylor guy.
I don't know. That's a good question.
The Baylor Bears are they're playing the SEC team in the first round. I forget who.
Mississippi State.
Oh, they playing the Bulldogs?
Indeed, it's an 8-9, I believe.
Oh, the 8-9 matchup is always difficult.
At least, Dr. Crane, your Bulldogs got in. You didn't think they might not get in. They got in.
Yeah, you know, I'm intrigued to see how they play in the March Madness tournament. I know, I think it was last year they played Michigan State, and they did.
Easy, buddy.
Sorry.
What happened? You turn into McClain on us there for a second.
Sorry about that. Yeah, they played Michigan State last year, I believe, or it was a year before, and they just didn't show up. So hopefully this year it's a little different.
I will tell you that in gauging the crowd this past weekend, of course, Tennessee fans were here, Kentucky fans are here, but your Bulldogs brought a lot of people up from Starkville for this tournament.
Where is the – oh, they're that's in Raleigh.
So what's John going to Vegas for? We got to figure this out now.
Well, is he going just to – what the reason I'd be going to Vegas and there's not actually games there?
Yeah.
It might be that.
Is he going to the Sphere to see the Eagles?
Maybe. We'll ask him.
Okay.
We'll ask him.
I like speculating better.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, putting things out into the universe.
Do all that. We have to go. Our good friend Kenny Chastney's playing the Sphere in June. We have to go out there and support our guy.
Oh, we do.
Do you have I told you, our good friend Tim Duggar went and saw the Eagles at the Sphere in Vegas.
Yeah.
He said it ruined all concert experiences for him.
I believe
it. Because nothing can top what he just saw at the Sphere in Vegas.
Yeah, they're not actually playing in Vegas, so I think he's just going. The same reason that I would be going.
Well, is there a women's tournament out there? Are the women playing? And he's a big Baylor women's basketball fan too.
I don't know.
There is a basketball tournament. It's a new one. It's called the Kings basketball tournament. It's a college.
Oh yeah.
Is that the one Fox came up with?
Yes.
Okay, that's very confusing.
It'd be hilarious. You book a trip to Vegas because you see that and you think that it's the NCAA tournament.
And you walk out and it's
like, wait, what the?
University of Phoenix versus South College. Like, what the hell is going on here? It's guys that look like us running up and down the court.
Yeah, the first and second round tickets, obviously the first four in Dayton. And then you got Denver, Lexington, Providence, Wichita. Seattle, Raleigh, Milwaukee, and Cleveland.
Okay. Where are the regionals?
Those are in Newark at Prudential Center.
Okay.
The Chase Center in San Francisco.
Like it.
State Farm Arena in Atlanta.
Like it.
And then Lucas Oil in Indianapolis.
Not a fan of big games in arenas.
Well, in stadiums. But what they do is they split it so it has two courts. So it's kind of cool how they do that.
Huh?
They split, like, the event level, they split and put two courts. And so they kind of – it's like two arenas in one.
At Lucas Oil?
Yeah.
That makes no sense.
Well, that way you can have, like, one game going on. You could have two games going on at once. You could have one game going on while the other one warms up, you know, whatever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's just
it's what they've done before.
I think basketball deserves to be in
an arena.
In an arena, not in a big stadium.
I'm with you. The Final Four, I can sort of get behind, but
right.
But anything else, I'm kind of like I agree.
Yeah, I went to the '87 Final Four when Indiana beat Syracuse, and we sat in the second to last row.
Was that in Lexington?
New Orleans. 85 was the one at Rupp Arena. We sat so high up at the Superdome that we talked to God the entire game. It was so far up there, we couldn't see anything.
So my dad used to have a say, like there was one time where a friend of his gave him Titans tickets. And, you know, we were all excited because we're going to go to the Titans game. I don't even remember who they were playing. And so we get to the stadium. And he would always hand me the tickets, be like, figure out where we are. So I looked at him, I'm like, we got to go up. And he goes, okay. So we get to the third level, which, I mean, no big deal. And then I go, no, we got to keep going up. And he's like, are we in East Jesus? we were literally on the last row of the stadium.
I'm not doing that.
And we got up there, we sit down, and we're both like catching our breath. And without missing a beat, he looks over and goes, oh, look, there's God.
I'm not sitting the top row at a sporting event. I'm not doing it.
The very, very top row.
And the walk up there? No, I'm not doing that.
You said you had a good question of the day for us.
Yeah, today. So I talked to a friend of mine down in Florida this morning and just, you know, college with
glad
them.
You have friends.
Yeah, that's I've good. Got like four of them. You, Ricky, Sean, Mark, and this guy in Florida. And I said, hey, what's going on? We're talking. He's like, man, I feel awful. I'm like, what happened? He's like, went out last night, St. Patrick's. I know I should have done it. And I feel terrible, and I'm popping Advil. I mean, he just sounded terrible. So I started thinking, what's the worst hangover
you've ever had? That's easy for me.
And 615-737-1025. Let's have fun with this. The worst hangover you've ever had. My friend in Florida is like, I knew better on a Monday in St. Patrick's. I shouldn't do it. And now he says, I feel awful. I'm just – and yours is?
New Orleans. I had gone for WrestleMania 30 with our old friend Jeremy Benefield, and he doesn't drink. I, of course, at that time was 20. I think I was in my 20s, 28 probably.
Okay,
and had never been on Bourbon Street. So we go out on Bourbon Street, and they looked at me too, and they're like, "Oh, rookie, let's go."
God.
And I was like, "Oh wow, you could just walk up to a window and drink on the street." And I had a hurricane. Here's the problem with New Orleans drinks. They're all sugar. And so that's what gets you. It's in the liquor. But the sugar is what makes you sick. So I get this hand grenade thing that has like four different types of liquor in it.
Love it.
And so I'm mixing liquors.
Hand grenade?
It was a hand grenade. And
I need to look this up. Okay.
The name was the name was perfect because it goes boom. And you that's how you feel. Yeah, so I was an idiot. I was mixing liquors. I had beer because, you know, why not at that point? And I woke up.
You're young.
I woke up the next morning, and Jeremy's just laughing at me because I'm like, where is that guy that hit me over the head with a sledgehammer? Because that's how I felt. I felt terrible. Like, I wanted to die. My head was just pounding so bad.
Oh, I'm glad you didn't die for that.
Well, no, I'm glad I didn't either. And so I pop Advil.
Attaboy.
I think I threw up. Popped Advil. And then he's like, let's go get food in you. That'll help. And it did. It actually did. We went to Cafe du Mom. and I rallied.
Yeah, that a boy. Good for you. Cafe Du Monde is fantastic. For me, and I posted a picture yesterday, I had never had Bacardi 151, Spring Break Daytona 88. And they said, hey, have Bacardi 151. You know, tough guy, life of the party, Joe here, had the 151. I passed out probably an hour later. I slept on the beach. They couldn't wake me up, so they loaded me in the back of a pickup, and we went through a car wash three times to get me up and see if I could wake up. Finally, I woke up the third time in the middle of the car wash, like, what in the hell's going on here? Took me back to our room. I slept for probably 18 hours, woke up, and I was like, what am I doing? And my mom's like, you having a good time down there, honey? I'm like, yeah, Mom, it's the best, as I'm trying not to throw up everywhere. But St. Patrick's is one that kind of sets the tone for your hangover the next day. So always curious about the worst hangover you've ever had.
That is a good one. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to weigh in on our question of the day, we'll get some good ones coming in. Ricky said, oh, the hangover question. I know his because I was a part of it, but there are definitely some good ones for your. Little breaking news coming out by the Nashville Predators. You want it? You ready for it?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Predators will participate in the Global Series next year in Sweden against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Nice.
So going
why
back,
is it always the Penguins?
I don't know. We just that's our rival, I guess, international rival. But it was San Jose last time. So it'll be Sweden in 2025, November 14th and 16th, two regular season games, as the Penguins will play in Europe for the first time in 17 years, and Predators will make their third trip abroad, their first visit to Sweden.
Nice.
So that will be very cool that the Preds will play in Sweden.
You're getting caught up by one Joe Rexroad. And I didn't want to do it, but Joe did it, and it's okay.
So I was wrong.
That's okay. But they did it for the Conference USA basketball tournament in Frisco. They put the curtain down the middle, and the men played on one side, and the women played on the other side.
Did they not, Joe?
For the tournament.
Did they not, Rexroad, for during COVID when they put the bubble, they did like a bubble in Indy? After it was like 2021, I think it was. I think they did it then. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
I know there has been a case where they have done that at Lucas Oil.
Well, not a fan of Rex Rhodes' tone on the text. Fine. So, not at all.
That's fine. I'll look it up. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I swore I thought they did that.
Joe got animated today about talking about college basketball.
I know. Look, he's basketball Benny, so you can't argue with him on that.
Oh, he was getting into it today about protecting the rim and getting down the court and shooting and being tough and playing hard, all that.
Can I just say, if we did like a game staff pickup basketball game, within 5 minutes, we would all be pissed off at Rexroad and Willie.
Yeah.
Because they would get way too competitive on it.
Rexroad? I don't think he'd make it around the court twice without calling a timeout. I'd foul out. I'd be like Bubba Wells. In the NBA, I'd foul out in 44 seconds like he did when he played for the Mavericks or whatever it was. I would, yeah. I'd go. I'm Shaq on the court, man.
Yeah.
I'm just going at it.
I love it. Can't hit free throws.
But the guy I'd worry about is that Robbie Stanley.
Oh, yeah. He'd be.
His brother's a good athlete.
Jared would try and be Allen Iverson.
He's another guy that could make it around the court twice.
615-737-1025. Our question of the day in honor of yesterday being St. Patrick's Day. What's the worst hangover you've ever had? 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also, the Preds going to Sweden. We'll talk about that and much more. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni, 1025, 1063 the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 the game. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel today. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we love our time here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Right, JoJo?
Yes, we do. And come by tomorrow night, Songwriter Night, which is great. These things are so good. It's always packed and fun. If this bar could talk songs and stories from bar lines, it is free here at the Omni Hotel, 5:30 on Wednesday. Look who they got. They got Jamie Adamson, your favorite, Chase, Colton Armstrong.
Yes.
Marilyn Bates, Dave Kane, other songwriters. It's free. It's good. At Bar Lines tomorrow night at 5:30. It is a free show. So come on down and have a good time.
We love it for sure. And always
gotcha.
Being here at the Omni National Hotel. Our question of the day in honor of St. Patrick's Day, what's the worst hangover you have ever had? A lot of responses have weighed in.
Yes.
615-737-1025. 1978 says, I once drank a hand grenade in a hurricane in one night. I do not recommend that to anyone. That's what I did. So where were you, you know, 15 years ago?
I got to look up while I was in a hand grenade now, man.
Hair Metal Henry, worst hangovers every day after listening to this show. Yeah, that's true. Second worst was the first trip to Mexico with my missus before we got married. Plane had booze, cab had booze, and hotel pool until midnight had booze.
Oh.
And look, we both know your missus. She can drink you under the table.
Oh, yes. No doubt. That's great.
Let's see. Ty. Boys, my job had rolling blackouts on Wednesday, and they called off work. Went to my boy's apartment at MTSU and drank so much I woke up in a completely different clothes and a bloody face.
Good Lord.
I had fallen straight on my face in the parking lot trying to foot race everyone I could find. Had a three-day hangover, laid on the air vent at my mom's and dad's for 3 days straight.
Holy hell. That's the absolute worst, man.
Did we do dumb stuff when we were younger?
We all did. If you didn't, then you didn't. Did you really live?
Yeah. 7948, Talladega Infield about 20 years ago. Yeah, that's accurate. Patrick said, my worst hangover was after Syracuse won the national title in 2003. And that was on Bourbon Street. I don't remember the next few days. Go on.
How many of these are involving Bourbon Street?
I would say a vast majority.
Because I've had – well, you've had a massive one. It's like Patrick had one. Others have had those. Man.
Let's see. Mike in Lebanon. In the early 90s, I was in my early 20s and stayed up for 3 days to beat a game on Nintendo. I was constantly drinking Mellow Yellow. On the fourth day, I slept for almost 12 hours, and when I woke up, I thought I was going to die because my head was exploding. It took another full day to recuperate. Never again. All from Mellow Yellow?
Oh, I'm sure there's something else involved in that.
Devin and Dixon, I was young and dumb, but me and my buddies got a cabin years ago, and the first night, I went through a half a handle of Jameson, Jack, and a 12-pack of Bud.
Good Lord.
The next day, I thought I was going to meet Jesus. I wanted to die.
Oh, my goodness.
James, that like you like Rick Pitino, drink a quarter Jameson?
Yeah. Have you ever drink Jameson? It's not easy.
No. Yeah, you don't.
Right.
Like the fact that you can do a handle. 4274, friends and I drove from Colorado to New Orleans for Mardi Gras in the late 90s in a giant conversion van. After the first night on Bourbon Street, I woke up in said van with the door wide open. My pants around my ankles.
Good Lord.
Cuddling a 22-ounce Heineken like a teddy bear. I must have gone out to pee at some point. Anyway, that day was no walk in the park.
Oh, my Lord.
Huffy and Dixon. Currently, today's hangover is the worst I've ever had.
What did you do last night, buddy?
Was it a little St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. And it's on a Monday, too, man, which even – makes it like the long weekend and on a Monday.
What's the worst sports hangover?
In which way?
Whether it's a championship, like you see a team win a championship and then next year they're just.
Oh, that's a great question. And I just had one that came to mind and now it's gone. Who was it that won the NBA and then the next year they were
Dallas. Well, they didn't win, but they were in the championship series last year.
Who won that? Oh, that's a good one. I'm trying to think without looking it up now. That was just did a 180 and were just awful because of that.
I mean, there's a trying to think of some off the top of my head. There's the NFL one that really comes to mind.
Which one?
I'm saying that if, like, the you know they win the Super Bowl and then are just terrible.
Yeah, for some reason I thought the Rams in 21, but they were good in 22.
Denver won that Super Bowl in 15, and then they pretty much have been bad ever since.
Yeah, they went back to the playoffs this past year the first time.
Yeah.
Sports hangover, one that's a good one. I'm sure it involved Bourbon Street, too. In some way, somehow.
Probably.
For a team winning in the Superdome. I don't know, man. That's – That's good. I mean, it happens a lot because that's why when it's rare for a back-to-back. You know, UConn did it in basketball the last 2 years.
And they probably won't three-peat because they've definitely taken a step back. I know they're in the tournament.
But. Right. But as far as a sports hanger, I mean, I don't know. There's been – my goodness.
You know, it is funny, though. The only time I've been to the Superdome was at WrestleMania. But, like, there was this kind of just aura walking in there.
It's the best.
You know? Because it was just like, this is the super, and then, you know, it'd been redone and all that stuff. Uh-huh. Like, just a cool, and we did press conferences before, so I got to go, like, downstairs, you know, where the locker rooms and stuff are, and, like, it's just, it's cool.
It's a, I mean, think about the Pope went there one time. U2 played there. Taylor Swift played there. I mean, all the sporting events that played there. Cowboys beat the Broncos in the 77 season or 78, whatever it was. Down there. I mean, so on and on and on and on. The Super Bowl after 9/11 was played there when Vrabel and the Patriots beat the Rams. So I love New Orleans. You know why I like New Orleans? Because New Orleans doesn't care what you think about it.
No.
They don't.
You know what I think the greatest sporting event to ever be played there was, though? That Monday Night Football game when they came back after Katrina.
Falcons and the
that was like that was special.
I talked to Algie Crumpler when he was here for the Titans, played for the Titans. Of course, he fumbled and lost the game for him in the playoffs. But I said, "What was that like?" He's like, "We knew on the bus going over, we were going to lose."
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so how do you play? He's like, "Yeah, we try to do our best, but we knew."
Yeah, you weren't gonna. You had no chance. Wasn't that that wasn't Breeze, was it?
It was.
It was Breeze. Yeah, that was Breeze's first game at the Dome, right?
I think it was. And then he had Steve Gleason block the punt.
Yeah.
Which is a statue out front of the Superdome there doing that. So that was an amazing night. Reggie Bush was on that team. And it was something, man. I'll never forget watching
that. Sean Payton's first game or second season.
Was he there in 05 or I don't remember if he was there in 05.
No, I think it was the dude that he came here for a little bit to coach linebackers.
Jim Haslett?
Yeah, Haslett.
Peyton started in 06 because I think him and Breeze arrived together in 06.
They did. Yeah.
Haslett was the coach before because I told you that's when he had Aaron Brooks on that team. And I was like, get rid of this quarterback.
Yeah.
And so that took off. That was an amazing moment watching that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching it at my house going like, this is. And then everybody became a Saints fan.
Oh, yeah. And the next year, Mr. Monday Night lit the Saints up on Keith Bullock, had 3 interceptions.
Yeah.
And then Vinny Fuller had a pick 6 in that game, and they beat the snot out of New Orleans that night on Monday Night Football.
Really? That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Vinny Fuller. Yeah, let's see. Breeze in that game. That was the third game of the season. Breeze didn't throw a touchdown pass.
Against the Falcons?
Yeah.
Probably didn't need to. Since
he only had 191 yards, but he was 20 of 28.
Not bad.
That's crazy. 23-3 was the final score that
over
night.
The Falcons.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Hal Gill. Preds back home tonight. We will get his thoughts on the Sweden trip and everything going on with the Preds. We'll do that next. Live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game on this Tuesday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Predators back in action tonight against the St. Louis Blues. I'll have pregame coverage for you tonight. Starting at 6 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. We say hello now to Hal Gill, who joins us. And Skillsy, going to see the Blues 3 times in the next 10 days. So these two teams better get used to each other.
Yeah, Central Division heat up coming in. Unfortunately, Preds are on the outside, but St. Louis is chomping. They're right there. They're playing some good hockey, and I expect they're going to be coming pretty hard. So the Preds better be ready for it.
Yes, for sure. The announcement coming up this morning that next year you get to take a little road trip to Sweden, which is going to be a lot of fun in November against the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's the third time that the Predators have played abroad. I think this is going to be really cool. I love the Global Series, but going to Sweden, I know Philip Forsberg will have to show you around.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's it's cool. I think it's a lot of work. It's a lot for the NHL. It's not easy to pull these off, but I think, I was over in Sweden with Pittsburgh and just the reaction that, you know, to see the young kids that have never seen their heroes play in person, it's like, it just blows their mind, you know, that they're actually in their town and playing in their country and on their ice, it's like it's something special. So I'm excited to see that, and I think it's a great way to grow the game. I think, you know, eventually the world is getting smaller, and I think it's a lot easier to get over to Sweden. So why wouldn't we go? Why wouldn't we go and play some hockey over there?
You know, it's cool, too, because I remember a few years ago when they went to Switzerland and just the pride on Roman Josi's face to be able to be in his home country and, like, show his teammates. I feel like, you know, Phil, it'll kind of be the same way. You know, is he's, you know, one of the main Swedes, Adam Wilsby, of course, from Stockholm as well. So, I mean, there's still a large group of Swedes on the team, and it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, those guys, I feel like we kind of we're NHL-centric here because that's our big league, and that's what the biggest league in the world. So in North America, we focus on the NHL, but like those guys grow up wanting to play in their hometown and play for their big club there in the Swedish league. And, you know, to have that dream, to live that dream, and then to go forward and play in the NHL is like the next level. So, yeah, to go back, and I totally forgot about that. Jost, that it made everyone cry just seeing Jost, you know, take in that moment and have his all his family and friends and his countrymen just taking him in and burn, and that was awesome. And I'm sure Phil is excited for the same thing.
Talking to Hal Gill on the Chase and Big Joe show. Hal, are you a little under the weather, my man?
I am. I had a heck of a road trip. I fought with my pillow and my bed for most of that road trip, and fought off the cold and the rain and the misery that was Southern California. And so I'm on the mend. I feel great. I just, you know, I need my voice to feel great with me.
Yeah, remember, those aren't pillows. Hey, by the way, all right, so there's 16 games left in the season. We know the Preds are going to make the playoffs. I get that. But what do you need to see these final 16 games, Hal, from the team? You want to see more of the young guys up? You want to see everybody come together as one? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities here, but what do you want to see?
Well, I think I want to see a lot. What the coaches want to see is, you know, a little bit of chemistry, a little bit of team identity, a little bit of, hey, this is the way we play. And this is what we do, and this is how we can do it, especially at home. I think when you're at home, you want to give the crowd something to cheer about. You want to play well with each other. And then, you know, outside of that, I think it's just, can guys make plays? Look, I want to see why Svechkov is so good. You know, like, show me something. You know, I think he's shown at spurts where he can drive through the middle and make a hard play. But I want to see more of that.
You know, sometimes in Major League Baseball, when they hit, they know they have the playoffs in September, they'll shut down their one or two starting pitchers just to, look, there's nothing to play for. Would you be okay if they, like, all right, we're going to shut down, you know, Stamkos or Marchessault or Shea? Or is that a mindset you can get under, or is it like just play till the season's over with? Because really, there's nothing to play for right now.
Yeah. No, I think you know, there's integrity that goes with that. And I've been in that situation where, you know, no one really wants to finish off the season out of the playoffs. It's the worst. It's a grind, and it's not fun. You try to make the best of it, but ultimately you want to be playing for something. But if you're not hurt, you got to play. And so I think if you do have an injury, you know, there's no sense making it worse. And so if you're legitimately injured, then maybe, yeah, if it's a game 7 Stanley Cup final, you're playing and you're going to play through that. And if you're trying to fight to get into playoffs, yeah, you're going to play through a torn rotator cuff or whatever. We always hear at the end of the season, everyone's got all these injuries. There's no sense in playing through that right now. So I think if you're injured, you know, step aside, let someone come in and show what they're all about. But if you're healthy, you have a job to do. You got to go out there and play, and you got to play hard.
Hal Gill is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. What's kind of been your thoughts on some of the new acquisitions that were made around the trade deadline and how they fit in?
Yeah, Bunting, I think, comes as advertised. He's you know, he's just jumping into a system. But you can see that grit around the net. You can see the fight for pucks. You can see that intensity, and I think he's brought that. Now we just got to see where he fits in and how he's going to fit in with the team. You know, the other guys, you know, I think we're looking at Verana as like, this is his showcase. Can he show that he's can be part of a winning team? Can he contribute and give something? You know, he had the goal and he's had some good looks. Can he build off of that? And I think, you know, you look on the back end, the defense, really everyone's on a showcase right now. I mean, you got a bunch of young guys playing alongside Brady Shea, trying to learn as much as they can from him and help him as much as they can. But this is their chance to say, hey, I deserve to be in this lineup when the new season comes around. And so, you know, they looked fantastic. What did they give up? 6 shots after 2 periods, which is kind of crazy in the NHL against LA. And I think they look good. They look confident and strong. And so, you know, they want to see more of that, but at the same time, they want to push their game to another level and try to prove that they belong there.
Hal Gill is with us. And look, I like having these guys here and, you know, obviously how they've contributed, but, you know, kind of looking towards the future, do you think there is going to be an opportunity that we could see Joachim Kimmel again? He made played in a couple of games earlier this year, maybe a Reed Schaefer, some of these young guys, or do you think the plan is to, as Barry Trotz likes to say, let them bake in the minors, maybe overbake a little bit, and then see what they got in training camp?
Yeah, well, it's tough because, you know, they're trying to define a culture here, and if you bring young players up at the wrong time when they're not really defining a culture and they're not playing the right way, then you can slow a guy down. That being said, if they can bring guys up and they're kind of tough, they're in a tough spot because they had their 4 call-ups, and so now they need an injury to bring up younger guys. But, you know, I think it's a good opportunity for some of these young guys to come up, and I'd love to see Kemo. I'd love to see these young guys come and Schaefer and see what they're all about and see if they can play at an NHL level, especially, I think, when there's no pressure involved. You know, it's hey, go play your game. Don't worry about it. You know, win or lose, we just want to see what you're all about. And so that sometimes can be a good mix of hey, NHL experience without the NHL pressure.
Hal, I have to ask you our question of the day, and this could be dangerous, but our in honor of St. Patrick's Day being yesterday, you know, some people might be feeling it a little bit today. What's your worst hangover?
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. I guess when I was younger, I had some good ones. I will say I played in a Hockey East ECAC All-Star game, and we all went out before, and we thought it was, you know, we were having a good time, and it was just an All-Star game, and I woke up from morning skate, and I was pretty hungover. I didn't feel too good. I grabbed a bagel and walked into the rink, and I did not realize that it was a 12 o'clock start. And so there was no morning skate.
Oh no!
We were fresh on the ice, and I hate to say this, it was probably the best game I've ever played. So, not to say that I went out and tried to be hungover more often, but I did say, wow, my hands feel pretty good. When I'm a little bit on the shaky side.
That's fantastic. Skillsy, thanks so much. We will see you later tonight at the arena.
Sounds good. Enjoy the game, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Hal Gill joining us here on the program. Of course, helps us out here on the radio side and also the TV side.
Good man.
With FanDuel Sports Network. A great man, for sure.
He is.
I you know, and look, Skillsy's seen me at my worst at times on
yeah,
the road.
That's so, good, though. So know. For you, Chase McCabe, coming up next, we have a special guest who's calling in to talk about hangovers.
Okay.
You don't know who it is.
Okay.
He texted me. It's a special guest. You'll like this.
Special guest. All right.
Talk about his hangover.
We will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Beer belly. What? Beer belly. What? And while I'm working on this beer belly, when I drink all your beer, I'm going down to what Whataburger. And I'm going to get a Whataburger with cheese. A Whataburger without cheese. A Whataburger with double cheese. A French fries. Some more French fries. I have fun doing fresh catch fish sandwiches. Another Whataburger with double cheese.
Chasing Big Stone Cold. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. The game on this Tuesday at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Tune in later tonight to 94.9 The Fan as Vandy Baseball hosts Belmont. A little in-city action there. Pre-game at 5:45, first pitch at 6. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. All right, I have no idea who our special guest is, so you
so
do the
our
honors.
Topic today is the worst hangover you've ever had coming off of St. Patrick's Day. Let's welcome in to the People Show our very good friend, the one and only Jim Wyatt, who has a hangover story for us.
Oh,
Jim, good morning.
Jimmy.
How are you, buddy?
How you guys doing this morning? I've recovered just since my story, but hope you guys are doing well in there today.
We are.
We're doing great. Oh, where is this going to go? This could be good.
Well, it's funny. I saw Joe's post about his Bacardi story, I guess, from spring break many years ago. And I sent him a text about my story that got me, and I'll never drink it again. I was in college, University of Tennessee. I'd met my sister was dating a guy who ended up being her husband. He's still my brother-in-law here 34 years later, however long it's been. But he introduced me to Jägermeister. I'd never had Jägermeister. So I was trying to be cool for him. I tried a shot of it, and I thought, no, it's not so bad. And certainly doesn't have the stinging to it when it knocks you down. So had one. Had two. I think I ended up with probably 7 or 8 shots of Jägermeister within probably 30, 45 minutes.
And
I can tell you now, have not had Jägermeister since. It took me about 2 days to recover from that one. I needed help getting back to my dorm room.
So how long did it take before it hit you? I mean, not obviously not that 45 minutes, but when did it hit you like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble?
I think probably, I think after the first couple, of course, I was starting to feel pretty good, which probably inspired me to drink the fourth and the fifth. And then, once I got to five, I was still coherent enough, and the night was still young. I thought, let's turn this into a big night. And so that's when I think I hit 6 or 7, and then they all hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm not kidding. I pretty much had to be carried home.
Well, Jimmy, I was wondering if it was going to be 2016. I think it was your birthday where we all went out after it was the last preseason game of that season. And it was me, Ricky, Amber, a bunch of media people, and it was Jimmy's birthday. We refer to that as Wyatt Fest, and it was it was quite the night.
Yes, I do remember that. I have a couple of big nights every once in a while, not like I used to. I kid people now. I grew up in Nashville about the same time Joe did, and there weren't many places around here. There was an Ace of Clubs was downtown. There's a Heartthrob Cafe was over here, Metro Center. Yeah. When I stand on the practice field, look out over the lakes, I sometimes flash back to the Heartthrob Cafe on my nights in the town there. And then, of course, the exit in. I mean, there were a limited number of places to go to. When we were growing up, and I love Nashville now and love to see so many options when you go out, but I wouldn't have, if I had all those options back when I was growing up, I never would have made it. I mean, it was
so nothing on
Broadway every night acting a fool.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Nothing on the strip in Knoxville when you were in college?
Oh, yeah. There's a place called the Last Lap, certainly, and Quarters. The funny one is the library because, that's back then, you guys, Chase is younger than Joe and I are, but you know, back in the day when you were in college, you know, you had pay phones or you had, you know, just one regular house phone, and my dad would regularly call my roommates and say, "Oh no, he's not here, he's at the library," and my dad would say, "Oh, here." And I was at the library on which was the famous bar and nightclub on the strip in Knoxville. Yeah, I had some big nights there too. All those places
are
sad when I go back up there, because those are the main ones, the Last Lap, the Library, Quarters, Copper Cellar. There were a bunch of other ones, but I closed all those down most nights around 3, 4 in the morning.
Well, those were good times. But quick story, I had a good friend of mine got beat up by Tom Muslinski at the Library because Tom was a bouncer, and my friend smarted off to him, and Tom popped him in the face. So I'll always remember that place because of that. So you've never had Jägermeister since then?
No, even the smell of it for a while would about cause me to get sick. I won't even get close to it. I was always probably mostly a Jim Beam guy back in college, but I branched out on the Jägermeister, and I'm not kidding. I have not had it since. And I know that drink's Bacardi for you. I know it's tequila for some other people. Everybody's got their one, but that's Jägermeister's it for me.
That's awesome. Jim, it is good to hear from you. I know it's kind of been a busy few weeks. How do you feel about how things have gone for the Titans?
Yeah, I think certainly offseason is just about kind of filling holes, and I don't necessarily think this is what the offseasons are going to look like moving forward for Mike Bergonzi and Chad Brinker and this new crew in place. I think what you want to do is try to get it to a point where you're just supplementing in free agency and then building through the draft. But the way things, you know, way things are right now and the way they were certainly at the start of this offseason, this team has a ton of holes. So that's why you've seen so many players sign, 9 of them total. You know, really Dan Moore, the left tackle from Pittsburgh, he's the kind of the exception in that he's the one that got the big money deal. But most of the other ones, pretty modest contracts and really just helping get this team to a point where it can compete and now try to add some more players in the draft and maybe in another round of free agency. Still a lot of work to do. I mean, this was a bad football team last year. That's why they're picking number one. That's why they finished 3-14. And so it's, I think everybody now has freely admitted that we're, you know, this franchise is in a bit of a rebuild. And I think some good acquisitions, you know, the offensive line looks different, certainly with, you know, with the addition of Moore, and then you bring in a veteran tackle in Zeitler who's going to play guard, and that's got to be better. And now you got to figure out what you're going to do with number one. All signs point to a quarterback, but, you know, I think there's still some curiosity on what some other teams in the league might be willing to do to get up to that spot, and that can make you think as well.
Well, I look forward to your draft when you ask all of us our picks, and hopefully it'll be about number one overall, because that's pretty cool to be able to do that. Jimmy, thanks for the story. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, that's fun. I appreciate it, fellas. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You too. Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. You can find his work there. I had to get one Titans question in. You know,
what's Jim Wyatt?
Jim Wyatt, you know.
But we also know we need to describe him as Jim Wyatt. Best guy ever, nicest guy ever, Titans report, Titans.com, and recovering Jägermeister.
We need to figure out how to get this story to Brian Callahan, and in the first press conference of the year, call on Jim, be like, Jäger?
Or have, can you imagine the press conference sponsored by Jägermeister?
No, even better. Even better. Coming up next, we will talk to John McClain, get his thoughts on free agency and everything that's been going on. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.